Look, this is episode 48. It's two shy of 50. Three past 45 of floppy fresh floppies.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Nailed it.
I said settle down, settle down. What's up to all our sidekicks and henchfolk out there in the Geek Nation? This is episode 48 of Fresh Floppies. We drop flop reviews.
Yeah.
Of comic books on the shelves today. Today is Wednesday morning. These are all brand new comics that come out today. Spoiler-free reviews because we love this art form of weekly periodicals. JD.
Hey, we got an email, Noel.
We got correspondence.
Correspondence.
That's right.
And it's from Christopher St. Saucy. Good night. Long time friend of the show. He says, living for the Energon universe chat, I've been kind of annoying Noel with my takes till now. Gotta disagree that we are gonna run out of characters soon enough. Soon, though. Maybe on the Cobra side with Major Blood showing up in Duke, along with hints of Destro, and now the twins are scheduled to appear in the Destro book, and, of course, the Dreadnoks minus Zartan are in the Cobra Commander book. But the Joes have so many characters I would love to see in their own mini. Chuckles, Shipwreck, Tunnel Rat, Barbecue, Wetsuit, Roadblock, Beachhead, the possibilities are endless. Not everyone is going to get their own book, but teams focused on four or five of the Joes is where it's at for me.
Is he? I don't know about you. As much as I, you know, would love a Chuckles book and blah blah blah. Wouldn't you get bored after like 3 years of a bunch of single
miniseries? Yeah, probably.
I mean, I wouldn't put it past. I mean, these are the most popular books on the shelves right now. They're like breaking sales records.
They are the first thing I read when it's time to hit my to be read stack.
Yeah, and the Christopher St. Saucy actually mentioned he's been, you know, air quotes, bugging me on the side about these Energon books. He was mostly mad that I didn't think Cobra Commander was as good as he did, and that I think Void Rivals is better. Now, I still think Void Rivals is better, but the Cobra Commander book is winning me over.
I'm actually so behind on Void Rivals because it's my least favorite of the books.
Well, it's not that it doesn't have the member berries.
I love me some member berries.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a... It's a much more fascinating book to me, and they're bringing in a lot of the Transformer stuff, which I don't know if I'm gonna love that or not, because I kind of just like these two different alien races doing their thing and learning about that.
It's not that it's not good. Yeah, it is very good. It's just I am so hyped about Cobra Commander, Duke, and Transformers right now that I'm just excited about it. So I can't wait to read them.
So we're getting Destro and Scarlet next as miniseries. Yeah. What would you want after that?
Snake Eye, Storm Shadow? Or no, the Arashikage clan, maybe? Like, maybe if you just did a background on the Arashikage clan, which is the ninja clan that both Snake Eye, Storm Shadow, you know, all the stuff with the Hard Master and the Soft Master, and I think even Firefly was involved with them a little bit. And Zartan, I don't know if you know this, Zartan was part of the same ninja clan that Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow were a member of. Did you know that?
He's a ninja? Zartan's a ninja?
Sort of. He was getting there.
He's ninja. He's ninja adjacent.
Ninja light, yeah.
Parallel ninja.
Yeah. So, yeah, anyway.
You just nerded out and I liked it.
Sorry.
Don't you understand? Lifts glasses up.
So, thank you, Christopher. We are also enjoying all of those books. And if you remember last week, Chris, Noel has come around on Cobra Commander, I think, right?
More so than before. I mean, it's... Look, we're doing a what's your favorite $1 million. All the books are great. All of these books are wonderful.
Yeah.
My least favorite is
of the $1 million.
Least favorite $1 million is Cobra Commander. Yeah.
But it's still $1 million.
Yeah, but you know, I know we had an order for the books today, but since we're on that tip, let's talk about Duke number 5 first.
Let's do it. All right.
It is the end of the first G.I. Joe miniseries.
Yes.
So this is the finale. It is written by Joshua Williamson with art by Tom Riley.
The incomparable Tom Riley.
Colors by Jordi Belair. What did you think of this wrap-up?
This was fantastic. Mm. This whole miniseries was great. I think even if you're not a G.I. Joe fan, I think you can jump into this thing and enjoy it. And it does finally reveal some characters that have been lurking in the backgrounds. And it ties up everything that's been going on with Duke. And it paves the way for
next.
Yeah.
It does. The character you're referring to has been showing up everywhere else too.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
But kind of in the shadows. Like, this is the first time I think he's been revealed.
No, I think he showed... I've seen his face.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he was earlier in this series, just kind of like quickly.
Oh, okay.
And then he did show up in the like a stinger of Cobra.
Oh, okay.
And then it also, I think it's also, so we've read the new comic book day already.
I did not.
I did.
You did.
There's also a stinger about it towards too. Right. There, threads are connecting, and yeah. This is just wonderful. What's cool about this book is I didn't feel like I needed to read the others.
Mm-hmm.
To just like enjoy this. Same with all of them. All of them have like lived alone.
Transformers number two.
Number two. Oh,
the inciting incident of this whole miniseries.
Well, maybe. Yeah, sure. But he's in this series alone. He said it. I don't know a million fucking times that a giant robot killed his friend.
Yeah. But I'm just saying.
There's a flashback in this one too.
Yeah.
So like you don't have to. You don't actually have to. Even though, if you're doing anything in this world, it should be reading Transformers by Daniel Warren Johnson. This is fresh as fuck.
AF. Yeah, absolutely.
This is wonderful. Great book. No notes. Tom Riley, keep going.
My note is more.
Whatever.
More.
Whatever happens to this series afterwards, because they're eventually going to be a G.I. Joe book.
Yeah.
Put Tom Riley on it.
Oh, for sure.
I don't care who writes it.
Although, I'll tell you what. Destro is coming up, and it was two names that I was unfamiliar with. But there's a primer in the back.
It's a preview.
Yeah, a preview in the back. This art is fantastic.
Yeah, I was actually going to say that. That might have been my favorite part of the book, the preview of the Destro miniseries.
Yeah, Dan Waters. Andre Brisson.
We're actually going to talk about a Dan Waters book today, later.
It's true.
But yeah, it was the preview made me more excited for this book than I thought I was going to be.
It's got like Chris Burnham vibes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it looks great. Okay.
Let's talk about your favorite book of the week, one that you've been following for 150 issues.
Yeah.
The road of which ends here. The road to 150 ends here.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Number 150. Number 150.
With story consulting by Kevin Eastman, story by Sophie Campbell, art by Vincenzo Federici, Ferrope, Dan Duncan, and Sophie Campbell.
Yeah. Noel, everything except for the credits, Noel just lied about. I've read like the first three issues of the IDW Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Every week this comes out, it's your first book. You've memorized plot lines.
I have no idea what's happening. So we thought it would be fun to just like check out the last issue of this series. Because the next, I'm very excited for the Jason Aaron stuff that's coming up very soon. And I thought, well, let's check out the end just to see how it ends up. I'll tell you, this is a book with 149 issues of continuity that I did not understand. it only deals with mostly a turtle, which surprised me.
Well, one turtle you know.
Yeah, that's true. There are some other turtles, yes, for sure. But yeah, I was kind of surprised at how much continuity they have jam-packed into Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, man.
It's 150 issues, man.
What'd you think?
I have a little bit more understanding of this continuity than you do, so I wasn't that lost, but it was a lot. This was a finale of a lot of story threads.
Yeah. I did not know that there would be, like, magic and time travel.
Reincarnation.
Yeah.
There's a whole subplot of, and I don't think this is a spoiler because it had to have happened before this issue. There's an entire subplot of a future version of Donatello using some sort of magic crystal to create genetic
like
versions of like replace his family. And then that conceit ties into a gajillion issues ago where you learned that the turtles were actually reincarnated soldiers or members of the Hamato clan, and that's like threaded
in
here.
That's why there's a mom.
Yeah.
I was like, how does Donatello have a mom?
This is deep Tom Waltz, Kevin Eastman continuity for IDW.
Did not get that. Yeah, I had no idea they were reincarnated ninja soldiers.
Basically.
Ninja clan.
Yeah, so like this whole issue is like a feedback loop to a couple of like continuity thingies in the IDW series. So if you've been reading all along, I think this would probably be fun. If you're like me and you've like only dipped in three or four times over the last
10
gajillion
years.
I don't know how many years. Yeah. It's functional. Like my favorite version of this, I started reading this series in like the 80s and then left around 120. Cause I wanted to know what everyone was talking about. So I read up till like issue 100 and then a little bit up to issue 100. And then issue 101 on was Sophie Campbell with her art.
Whomst I love.
She's wonderful. The book was fantastic. Her art was fantastic.
She only did about 10 issues, though.
Yeah, and then...
of art.
Yeah, and then she stopped doing the art, and the story kept going, and I just kind of fell off because I wanted the full package. Yeah. I would have taken this book periodically as opposed to monthly if I kept her storyline.
Yeah.
And then it got a little, as you could tell here, complicated.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It seems like Sophie's having fun.
Oh, yeah.
Like everything in here. Like,
she was only supposed to be on this book for like 2 years, and she did 50 issues.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So yeah, this is a crowning achievement.
This is like everything but the kitchen sink turtles. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was really surprised.
As dense as this book is, even if you don't understand necessarily points, it's not a confusing read.
Mm.
Like, the confusion is your...
lack of baggage?
lack of plot threads. Not, it is so slapdash put together that it's a pacing problem. Yeah. Actually, like, I think this is a well-constructed issue. It's just a lot of touch points that I don't have.
Yeah. Mentally, I came to a gunfight with a pocket knife.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. A butter knife, probably.
Yeah. But otherwise, it was kind of delightful. And whoever this artist in the middle is, I quite love the way.
Well, it's one of three.
The way he or she draws Donatello with the round head. I just like that art a lot. Very cool. Very cool style.
I think that's Ferrope.
Yeah, that's real cool. I have no idea who this Armagon guy is.
Thing? Armagon thing? It's sure. Like a shark beast it's man
shark thing.
Anyway, yeah, I think this is probably, it's fresh. For me, it's fresh enough. For you, I'm assuming barely fresh just because we don't know what the hell's going on.
I would say fresh enough, too, because, most importantly, I grabbed the Sophie Campbell first trade paperback issues 101 through 107 or something like that because I want to read it. This made me want to go back. And I was like, do I want to go back to issue one? I don't know. That seems like quite a task. But maybe I'll go jump on when Sophie takes over.
The first like two arcs are absolutely phenomenal. The idea of Manhattan being completely transformed to mutants because of like a giant mutagen bomb at 100. So you have a lot of hundreds of thousands of denizens of New York are now mutants in different bodies that aren't theirs, and then the allegorical story plot points from a trans female writer is just fucking awesome.
I was gonna say, I haven't heard a lot of like crying about wokeness for this one. You know what I mean? Like, it's a trans allegory for sure by a trans writer, and I'm surprised.
At least the first 15 issues of her run has been yes. I don't know what it's become in the last 35 issues.
Yeah.
If it's any indication, it's become a very complex time travel story.
Magic runes story. And shit. Yeah.
But. Yeah, the first chunk of it really was like normal humans coming to terms with being in the wrong bodies. And it was very so cool. Good.
Yeah, I'm gonna. Yeah, this was so good that I want to go back and catch up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to talk about another kind of like weird member Barry book that came out this week.
We'll do it.
From Mad Cave Studios. Is it Studios? Whatever. Mad Cave. Dick Tracy, number one.
I
heard
of him. I saw the movie in the theaters. I had the little watch, and I was devastated that I couldn't actually talk to anybody on my watch.
It's written by Alex Segura and Michael Morici with art by Geraldo Borges. This could have gone many different ways.
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to be colorful and slapdashy like the movie? Is it going to be hard-boiled like actual noir, or is it going to be more broad like the radio plays and old comic strips? It's kind of all of it.
Yeah, it is. I'm seeing a lot of blood.
Yeah, it's mostly a real noir approach, but they don't shy away from the very, very silly aspects like the yellow coat, characters like Mumbles and Flat Top.
Yep.
It's like taking these very silly things and just approaching them nonchalantly in a straightforward way. This was a solid noir jump. Like it's a fun little 1920s detective comic. It is Dick Tracy and Tess Trueheart trying to find out why a hit happened in the diner in the middle of the night. And it may or may not have to do with Big Boy.
I don't. Big Boy did it.
Big Boy did it. Big Boy did it. Mumbles is a character here, and he is written. He's written indecipherably.
Wonderful.
And the whole time, I am hearing Dustin Hoffman in my head.
Also, I don't want to. I don't want to shit on your parade. Mm-hmm. It's the 40s.
40s?
Not the 20s.
Oh, yeah. They talk about post-war. Yeah. Got it. This was a surprising read. I enjoyed it.
How fresh?
I think it's pretty fresh.
Pretty fresh. Okay.
It didn't blow me away, but a lot of times noir isn't really meant to blow you away so much as like establish mood.
Yeah.
Yeah. If it was a shot out of a cannon with a whole bunch of gimmicks, I don't think it would be as successful. It's just really fucking solid.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's move on to another IP with a new series. Universal Monsters, Creature from the Black Lagoon Lives by Dan Waters, the previously mentioned Dan Waters of the upcoming Destro series.
I think you got the title wrong. It's Skybound presents Universal Monsters, Creature from the Black Lagoon. I'm just kidding.
Oh.
Yeah.
Dan
Waters and Ram V.
Ram V with Matthew Roberts and Dave Stewart. I have never seen The Creature from the Black Lagoon.
It's kind of good.
This is not that story.
No, this is a
sequel.
Lives.
Yeah.
It's a sequel, yeah.
This was great. This is the first... Was this the first thing I read? No, Turtles was the first thing I read. Then I read this. Mostly because of this cover. I love this Black Lagoon cover. That is a poster. I love it. And I have, like I said, no interest or back history with the lagoon creature.
No bagage.
But this was great.
Yeah, this is a really strong book. The creature is treated like a creature.
Yeah.
The real story, the real narrative drive is this... reporter suffering from PTSD who can't let a lead go.
Yeah.
And that is just compelling on its own, and the fact that it just kind of also involves this thing.
Yeah.
Is just really fun. I like that Image is doing these Universal Monster books. Mm-hmm. And this one tells me that they're not too
precious
about it. Yeah. Because the Dracula one,
was that just the movie, like the book?
It was basically just an adaptation.
That's what I thought. I didn't bother with it.
I'm not a giant fan of Martin Simmons' art.
No.
I will eventually go back and read it.
Yeah.
But it is what it is. But this is a continuation. This is like, and you don't need to have seen the movie.
Yeah.
Like this, he is just a creature, mm-hmm. right? And I think the next one coming is Frankenstein. And I forgot the creative team of that, but the cover looks wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah. I was reading this. You know, I kind of forgot the Lives portion of it. So I was reading this going, this seems way too intricate for what the movie actually was. Like, this can't have been what the movie was. The fact that it's kind of a sequel story makes sense. This was really, really good. I was surprised at how good this was.
Yeah, this was really strong. This was really strong. And, like, it's a presentation-wise, too. It's a cardstock cover. Mm. The paper stock is thick and glossy. This is just an all-around fantastic presentation.
The cover's matte. But, yeah.
Oh, I said the print stock. The pages. Didn't I say the pages?
It's also not glossy. But, yeah. It's very, very nice. It's very thick.
Shiny. It's like a matte shiny.
It's like a semi-gloss.
Okay.
We're gonna fist fight.
There was one scene that I really liked of her holding a gun, and there is just an insert panel of the gun barrel shaking.
Yes.
Like there's a lot of really fun, inventive way, like, you know, water changing the panel layouts. Like there's a lot of really fun storytelling techniques that are utilized here. This is just a really strong book.
I did notice one oopsie doopsle.
Oh, Sidozy.
She is getting ready in the morning, and she has a gun in a holster. And then when she's leaving the pharmacy, her gun is in her belt, her pants.
Maybe
it's inside
she,
her pants.
Maybe she moved it there for easier access.
Sure. this was great. Highly recommend. This was fresh AF.
Before we wrap up, we don't have... there's not a show that exists without talking about Ultimate Spider-Man when there's a new issue. So I'm going to do that really quickly. Ultimate Spider-Man number 4. This is the first issue not drawn by Marco Cicchetto.
Oh.
It is drawn by Messina.
I didn't even read it yet. So, oh, yeah, you're right. That is not Cicchetto at all.
Oh, man. What's his first name? The
Johnny
artist.
Something stuff.
Sorry.
Oh, David Messina.
David Messina. There you go. And it is fine.
It is.
It's fine.
Fine.
It's not Marco Cicchetto.
No, it's not.
And this entire issue is a double date, so it's all Talking Heads. And I liked it a lot.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
The issue itself is absolutely wonderful.
This is a downgrade of art. I'm sorry.
It's a downgrade of art. It's absolutely a downgrade of art, but it is not. This is not a situation where we were enjoying Clay Mann, and then all of a sudden for three issues it's Liam Sharp.
Yeah, that's true.
I literally dropped
that book.
This is not the kind of art switch that blows the tone of the book and ruins all momentum. This is just journeyman practical approximation of the same style being inserted for two issues.
Yeah.
Because Marco Cicchetto cannot do 12 books a year.
He's so good though.
He gets like three to four and then like two off.
But like, I'm sorry, they got sliding eyeball syndrome here. Like, it's what I always said Mark Bagley had. Mark Bagley's got sliding eyeball syndrome, where like they're just one eye will be sort of slothing down the face.
During the date, yes. But then there's a couple scenes of Uncle Ben and Jay Jonah babysitting that are wonderful, and I love this artist's version of Ben and Jonah.
Yeah.
There's enough here. It did not kill me. Also, too, there's a couple of like instances of facial acting that's pretty wonderful, and the plot actually drove somewhere. This double date between Harry and his wife and Peter and MJ is very fascinating.
Good.
I realized something. The first page says April. And the first page of issue one said January. So this is happening in real time.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
These are all months.
Yeah.
And then in the previews for the Ultimates book, the big log line is that we have 2 years to save the world and be ready for the Maker.
Oh.
So this is a 2-year thing. Yeah. This is a 2-year experiment. At least that's my impression. Like, we're going to get a Hickman book for about 2 years.
Nice.
And a little world. I'm like.
Also, we're getting a Doom one shot from Hickman.
Yeah.
And then he's got something else coming.
I don't know.
Yeah, but yeah, he's got a whole other series coming that I forgot about.
But either way, like the fact that like I enjoy the calling your shots and this being a 2-year kind of story plot or story setup. I'm like, cool. Anyway, last.
But Spectrograph from this distillery, which is spelled DSTLRY by James Tynan and Christian Ward and Aditya Bidikar. So I was reading this and I'm like, this seems very familiar. Why is this so familiar? It's a guy who wants to build a ghost machine. What is it? Oh, right. It was in the distillery primer. Introduced to it in the distillery primer.
Oh, I thought you were going to say like, oh, it's like four different horror movies. It's a little bit of Hellraiser. It's a little bit of House of Thousand Corpses. It's a little bit of 13 Ghosts. It's a little bit of,
yeah.
It's on it.
But it sets up with, as someone with a baby, with a 3-year-old, this setup for the stakes for this mother, frustrating, but relatable.
So Tynan has a way of, I think the last one was The Closet.
All right.
He wants you to hate his
protagonist.
Yeah. Or let's not even call him protagonist. He wants you to hate his characters.
Yeah.
For some reason, at the onset of stories, and this is definitely one of them, like, he wants you to be genuinely frustrated with the fucking decisions that this person makes. Yeah. And I was. Yeah.
Yeah.
I very much was.
There's no way I would make that decision.
Also, the friend on the phone, like,
are you kidding me?
Go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Agreed.
Just,
yeah.
Everyone's a garbage person in this book.
But the way it ended off, I was like, all right, I'm in.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't care what happens to them, but I just want to make sure it's something interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was a really pretty book. This was cool. Sometimes Christian Ward's art doesn't, like, I think Christian Ward's art is beautiful. I don't always think that it's the best sequential storytelling in a comic.
Yes. Perfectly said.
I have the same issue with some Alex Ross interiors. Yeah. Like, it's just a lot of it's staged beautifully and presented beautifully.
Colors.
But does it effectively move my eye from right to left with pace with action.
No, not usually.
No. Yeah, it's just splashes. Yeah. And then he's doing a couple things that, or I mean, speaking of Martin Simmons, there's a couple who is a constant collaborator with James Tynan. There's a couple of like almost watercolory Simmons-esque things that I'm like, okay, that's fine.
It's definitely more readable than Simmons for me.
Oh yeah, no, not even comparatively. It's just there's a couple of splash pages where it's just like, oh, we're doing like watercolor splashes and kind of decoupage looking Johns in the middle of a splash page.
Is there anything we can say about this without spoiling it?
It's a new ghosty horror book that has to do with the occult and realtors.
Yeah.
Enjoy it.
And a very cool spooky house that I've never seen.
Which we don't really see that much. It's always dark inside.
It reminds me of Hellraiser, the new Hellraiser.
Yeah, that's what I was referring to. It's the new Hellraiser. Yeah. Where he constructs this house to be
something. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Fresh AF again.
Yeah, this is a good book.
I'm in.
It's very good week in comics. Is there anything? Man. Before we wrap up, is there anything that you were thinking of
checking out?
Checking out.
Oh, I got to catch up on Gods. Speaking of Hickman, I got to catch up on Gods. That new issue just comes out today.
Gods, Avengers. Oh, Amazing Spider-Man, which I'm always excited about.
I haven't read Ultimate Spider-Man 4, so I'm definitely looking forward to that.
I hope you hate it.
No, thanks.
Yeah, I hope you hate it.
All right, well, we're going to be live streaming tonight. We're going to be discussing two movies.
Yep.
We're going to be talking about Abigail, the new horror vampire film, as well as Rebel Moon Part 2, The Scar Giver.
Yep.
Join us on YouTube, 8 o'clock live stream.
I prefer we call it Rebel Moon Part 1B. Yeah. Theatrical.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks so much for hanging out with us.
We'll talk to you guys later. Bye-bye.
She's an angel, yeah. I'm in deep with this girl, but she's...
Thank you for listening to the Cult Pop Network, home to podcasts, live shows, and a whole lot of fun stuff for every flavor of fan. Follow us wherever you find your favorite podcast, and be sure to join us live every Wednesday night at youtube.com/cultpopgo at 8 p.m. Eastern. While you're there, be sure to subscribe to the channel and hit the bell icon so you'll know when we drop new Thunder Rounds and episodes of Fresh Floppies, a spoiler-free show about single-issue comics released each week. Until then, we'll talk at you later.